Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
A podcast where we try to make a musical in 30 minutes about literally anything. And joining me is, as always, it is Brianna Jones.
Hello.
And Andrew DeWolf.
Woohoo!
We're ready to make a musical.
Yes.
Ready to give it a try.
All right. In case you haven't noticed by our basic attitude during that opening, we are converting Super Mario, the concept of Super Mario, into a musical.
Based on what we've been talking about, I assume we could just take and pick and choose from different games and
adaptations, whatever. Here's the context. Nintendo of America comes to us and was like, we want our IP to, like, hit more ground in New York and among New York tourists. So we need a Broadway-ready show with Broadway stakes and emotional connections. We need that. So that's what our goal is. We have carte blanche to use anything in the Mario canon. We can't dive into, like, too far, like, off-reach games. Like, just because they show up in Smash doesn't mean we can use them.
Well, yeah. I assume it's main canon, so it's not, like, Mario Party or like, that kind of stuff. Mario Kart, really.
Needs to be the center character. It can't just be a DK story that has Mario in it.
No. Okay. Yeah, okay. I mean, I think
that's the rules.
I think the basic plot has to be Peach gets kidnapped by Bowser. I mean,
what else would it be? Yeah, it has to be that.
I don't think that's empowering as a woman.
Can give Peach songs and things, and we can have other characters like Daisy show
can
up.
Can I offer a counter pitch? Because I found this dynamic fairly interesting in the one game it happened. It is Bowser's son kidnaps Peach because he thinks that it's his mom.
You want to do Sunshine?
I want to do Sunshine, but just for that piece. I don't want Flood or anything. I just think
I am fine including Bowser Jr. because I think he's a fun character.
Yes. And I think that Bowser should be like this intimidating thing that we don't even see until like halfway through Act 2. I feel like he should be a presence, but we don't see him. We get the mouthpiece of Bowser Jr.
If we're not doing like the Mario Party stuff, like Bowser should be scary.
I agree, but I feel like he's scarier if you build him up as a mythic figure as opposed to like a character.
I don't think he should have like a fun song. He should be like a spooky set piece, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the question is Luigi in it? And if he is he a major character?
Luigi is in it. He is a major character, yes.
Like, what kind of major character? Is he, like along for the ride, or is he helpful in a different way?
He is along for the ride. Mario and Luigi are both working together on this one. And I'm going to throw this out there. There is some sort of, like, bounty or something to save Peach, and Wario and Waluigi are also trying to save Peach.
I'm into this. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I want to give Peach something to do. Like, I feel like she and Bowser Jr. could have, like, camaraderie and kind of back and forth and, like, showing her smarts and the fact that she doesn't really want to fight her way away from a child.
Yeah. No, I think that's fine. I'm not saying that Peach shouldn't be a character. I'm just saying that that's, like, the plot of Mario games.
Oh, so I agree, but I was just going to borrow the part I liked from a specific Mario game.
We can do that, and we can definitely have a few songs between Peach and Bowser Jr.
Need some tension between Luigi and Mario, because by structural nature, there needs to be a mid-act breakup. We need them as a relationship to come together, break up, and then come back together. That is just the nature of storytelling. So I was thinking of giving Luigi an inferiority complex. Why is it always the Mario brothers? And why isn't it always Luigi brothers? It's my name too, Mario.
Okay. I mean, we could do that. Or we could make use of the new rivalry of Wario and Waluigi and maybe have them do something to sow dissent between them.
That could work too. But what if they kind of switch partners? Like Wario, like halfway through, Wario takes Luigi and Mario takes Waluigi, and it just doesn't work.
That could be funny. I don't know how you'd facilitate that though.
Like, literally, Wario and Waluigi have their own kind of fight for different but similar reasons. Where
they're fighting, like, over who's going to take the bigger portion of the money that they get for saving Peach.
Okay. Actually, no, I'm going to pitch this. Wario and Mario end up together, and then Waluigi and Luigi end up together, and they both annoy, like, Mario is annoyed by Wario by all the things that Luigi hates about Mario, and Luigi is annoyed by Waluigi by all the things that Mario hates about him, and then they're like, I missed you, I need you back.
Ah, so they learn that they hate themselves more than they hate each other.
Yes. They understand what their respective brother felt was so annoying about them and is, like, willing to bring back the olive branch and work harder to make the relationship work.
Okay. So I think what needs to happen is Luigi has to, like, fail at something and Mario gets upset because Luigi's always a coward and is never as good at that stuff. And then later on, Luigi has to come back and succeed in a way that he failed before, you know? That's Luigi's arc.
Yes, I agree. Okay. And you can throw nuts into, like, Luigi's mansion and shit like that.
Yep, absolutely. Right. I mean, you can even have one of the, like, obstacles they have to go through on their adventure be, like, the Boo house or something like that.
Yes. I love that.
I don't know.
Well, the, like, flashlight.
Could,
yeah.
Well, no, that could be, like, the thing that Mario discovers he needs Luigi for. Like, he's, like, so brave, but he's definitely afraid of ghosts. Like, the Boo.
And Luigi.
Luigi.
Is also afraid of ghosts.
But knows how to handle himself.
Can, he knows how to beat them.
Yes. Okay, I'm into that. That's their little mini arc. Over the trip to save Princess Peach. We need to go back to the beginning. How do we start this?
Okay, you have to start it with either Peach just immediately being kidnapped by Bowser Jr. or with, like, a happy start and then they kidnap her.
Yes, we need, like, an Emoji Land kind of start where it's like, life is great in the Kingdom of Shrooms.
Yeah, Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, doesn't one of the Mario games start with them getting married, Peach and Mario, and then Bowser steals her away?
That was Odyssey, I think. Like, there was, like, a wedding going to happen.
Yeah, that was Odyssey, right?
Oh, what if Wario and Waluigi are also happy and they get, like, gold taken from them or something?
No, they're just kind of, like, Thenardier-esque characters that kind of cause trouble. Like, they don't have, like, specific goals aside from their usual, let's fuck around.
They just see the bounty posters and they're like, yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, literally, opening number, Mushroom Kingdom wedding, like, where everyone's getting their shit together to prepare for Mario and Peach's wedding. Like, we start with Luigi, then we, like, introduce Daisy, then we use Daisy and introduce Peach, we use Mario, and they have to be kept apart, and then as soon as they're, like, about to be put on the pedestal together, down comes baby Mario being like, no, she's my mother, you're not gonna take my mom away, and then, like, that's the end of the first number.
Okay.
We and then so we would move on and immediately throw a rock in it.
Okay. So is there really, this is kind of like a thing where we don't really need, like, an I Want song, I don't think. They just want to get Peach back. That's really it.
I feel like we could do a me and you, but mostly me kind of song where that kind of acts as the I Want song in Book of Mormon. We could have, like, it's you and me, the brothers who the Mario brothers. And the joke is, like, he always says Mario brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like that.
Maybe by the end, he just says the brothers, you know, or something.
Exactly. Mario and Luigi. Oh, shucks, Mario.
That's the real like. There's no real romantic interest needed in this.
I don't think it's
Mario and Luigi.
I don't think Peach and Mario would ever have troubles. I don't imagine them as a couple that fights.
No, and really, there is no romantic element. It's like, yeah, she's kidnapped. He's gonna go save her. Duh.
Yes.
I mean,
but there has to be.
So
like,
really, the
Mario, as weird as it is, like, I feel like in most Mario Luigi narratives, you can't stray too far away from the 93 movie, where Mario is kind of like the rock that, like, knows who he is and what he wants, and his arc needs to be about, like, opening up and kind of letting people in, where Luigi is the one that's like, I want things and more, and I don't have enough out of life, where Mario is always the complacent one trying to get back his... It's Shrek and Donkey dynamic, basically.
Yeah. No, and it works. We keep that. Mm-hmm. And I think, oh boy, so Wario and Waluigi come in after this kidnapping as well, and I think they get a good comedy number or something.
Yeah, we have to introduce them, like we kind of have, like, the I like this number idea that I'm trying to think. Honor Among Thieves, like, that is Wario's theme, like, that is his song name. And it's just like he's talking to his brother Waluigi about like what they believe in and what they're doing. And while he's singing it, he's just also stealing a bunch of stuff. And so it ends mid-song, like, with them finding the wanted poster, like, hey, there's some money we can get from there. Ain't that right, Waluigi? Ah!
I like them because they're never, like, evil, but no. They're definitely never in it for the right reasons, you know? It's like...
yeah.
All right, we need to cut to Bree as Peach. Like, what is Peach up to? Because she's got this really complicated thing going on.
Okay. I feel like even though she was just, like, stolen away on her wedding day, she's still very, very nice. Mm-hmm. Like, she's very nice to Bowser Jr.
She has to somehow explain to him that she's not his mom.
And he has to be like, yeah. So, like, nope, my dad said so, and it's the truth. And we've got to, like, instill an actual fear of Bowser as a threat.
Bowser has to be the one that's like, if she gets to Bowser, then it's a problem.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe have Bowser Jr. sing a song about My Daddy Says or something like that. Yes. You know?
Yeah.
And like Peach is in that with him. I don't know.
And maybe she's trying to avoid going to see Bowser by like, she's like, well, let's have a mommy and me day or something, or a mommy and Bowser day. So she's kind of like playing up this idea that she's the mother.
I like this idea that Bowser is just out somewhere and the ticking clock is him getting back, like, to the Dark Castle. And she's, like, in this, like kind of like a Beauty and the Beast situation where she's, like, in this very lavish, beautiful room and she's treated very well. And then Act 1 closes with her being found out trying to escape herself through the Mommy Me Day. And then Bowser Jr. throwing her in the cellar where, like, all the evil turtles and other Goombas are.
The Koopas.
Yes, and that's where we end her kind of story in Act 1. Like, as like, oh no, things got worse.
Like, now it's serious.
And Mario Meanwhile, and Luigi have broken apart. So, like, on all fronts, everything is terrible.
Yeah, there's no hope here.
So what, okay, see, we had this idea, Mario and Waluigi, and Wario and Luigi and Waluigi get together somehow. How do they end up together? Like, what's the reason... Or is that a comedy number at the start of Act 2? We kind of explain that. They just kind of meet each other.
I think in Act 1, right after Wario and Waluigi find the wanted posters and decide we're going off of after that, they're all heading in the same direction. So eventually they're going to come across each other. And they're going to be like, oh, you, and oh, you. And then they're going to kind of screw off. And then Mario and Luigi are going to have their issues. They're going to break apart. And simultaneously, Wario and Waluigi have their issues. Waluigi meets up with Luigi, Wario meets up with Mario, and they're like, you know what? We've all got things to gain from it. Let's just work together. And at the same time, Peach is thrown into the dungeon, and then we just kind of see the eyes of the Koopas gathering around her, and that's where we end Act 1. We start Act 2 with, like, the Dream Team song, where they call themselves the Dream Teams, and then everything they attempt to do, they just mess up terribly because they just don't gel together. And it's a comedy number about how Wario and Mario don't work together, while Luigi and Luigi don't work together, and they just keep trotting on. And then we cut to Peach, and she's already, like, domesticated all the Goombas, and, like, they're bringing her flowers and stuff. Like, she is just that good and such, like, a pure soul. Like, that is the power she has. And then we introduce Bowser, who is this dominating figure. And
Bowser's got to have like that Hades voice, you know?
Oh, yeah. He's played by Patrick Page.
Yeah. He's like 90% costume, I would assume. Maybe we do the head from Wizard of Oz, Wicked.
No. Have you seen the puppet from the King Kong musical?
No, I haven't.
Look that
not,
up.
At least
right
not
now.
Much.
Look that puppet up, because that's how I imagine this could be done in a way where you could have both a human actor and a physical, practical thing.
Okay, because that could be really cool.
Oh, wow.
Right? That thing won its own Tony. Like, that puppet won a Tony.
I can imagine. Oh, my God.
And that is our Bowser character. So we can have, like, all the intense action, quote-unquote, the cartoony action with something that big and an actor.
Wow, that is a really impressive puppet.
Right?
It is.
This musical was terrible, too, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. The puppet was the only thing anyone talked about.
Well, I mean, it must have been really cool to see, though. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure some people would be willing to pay to see a show that's bad just to see this cool puppet.
Now, did people have to control the puppet?
People were like, "Oh my god!" Once. So that's our Bowser. Our Bowser is going to use the same technology as that, played by Patrick Page. And like, we really need to give him like agency and a reason why. Where more than just complacency, we need to like be like, this guy is evil and a threat. But it makes sense that he wasn't involved in Act 1.
Well, he wants Peach kidnapped because he wants to take over the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yes.
Like, that's his actual motive. He wants to take over the Mushroom Kingdom, and Peach is in the way of that.
How about this? You go on your merry way there, little girl. If you just hand over your kingdom, you can get married to that plumber man and do everything you want, but kingdom's mine.
Yeah, we could do something like that.
Yeah.
His ideas will be something, but Peach will obviously say no, and he'll keep her kidnapped.
I mean, he has to have pretty good ideals. That's kind of the thing I've always hated about Bowser, is he just kind of wants girl or take over. I feel like he's like, my people, you care about the kingdom of mushrooms, but what about the kingdom of Goombas and Koopas thrown down here into the depths? Kind of like a scar.
I mean, honestly, though, the Koopas are treated pretty bad. Like, Mario just jumps on their heads. Like, he does not care. That is not even a good way to go. That's like, he just flattens them.
Just because we live underground does not mean we breathe any less, princess.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so and he's like a big threat, and he's going to take over the kingdom and destroy their way of life.
Bowser Jr. think that it's his mom?
I feel like that's just something that Bowser told him, like, for fun.
Well, yeah, because I think Bowser on some level wants him to kidnap Peach as well.
Yeah.
So, like, you know.
Yeah, or maybe he's trying to make his dad proud.
Yes.
Something
like that. Something where it's like, I need to do this for my dad.
Bowser is an extremely inconsistent character. Like, let's just be
real. Yeah, I want to recharacterize him entirely as to, like, an actual threat with actual morals and an actual goal. Political goal here.
Well, yeah, because Bowser, I mean, he in the first game, he really is like just a big monster turtle.
Yes.
And like, that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, he has been recontextualized to like a guy that sits in the jacuzzi and, you know,
wants to
go on vacation.
Okay. Beginning of the musical, Peach believes that being a princess is representing the crown well and like being pretty and being perfect and representing her family and all that. And then she discovers how many people are still suffering despite how happy people in the Mushroom Kingdom see. And her arc is like allowing the Koopas and the Goombas to return and join the kingdom as part of her world. Like, that is her little mini arc. And
Bowser facilitates
that.
Well, no, baby Bowser. Bowser Jr. facilitates that. Bowser is like this reckless, like has beliefs but terrible person. Bowser Jr. is the one that frees Peach, like eventually lets her go to like, because Bowser is just too off the chain and is going to hurt someone. Like, is literally going to kill
Maybe.
Her. Because as soon as Bowser knows that Mario is on the trail, he like goes, he switches.
Yeah, and maybe whatever reason that Bowser told Bowser Jr. that it's his mom comes out, and Bowser Jr.'s like, wait, it's not really my mom?
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
That would actually be a good liar reveal where he's like, I did all this for nothing. You used me, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Okay, that's good.
Okay, back to Mario.
Then we have a song about Mario hating Wario and Wario hating Mario vice versa.
That's
for
our
Luigi's.
Act 2 opener. That like them discovering how badly they work together, and it's a
common
number.
I think there has to be something that like clarifies that they are discovering something and then they stop working together too.
I feel like it needs to be like a moral issue with Mario and Wario. Like, that is it, where Wario won't help a thing like that needs help, and Mario's like, what are you doing? Or like threatens someone like very violently to get information, and Mario's like, that's not how we work. And he's like, that's how I work.
Yeah. And maybe he, like, when he asks why he's doing it, he's like, well, he wants to be the center of attention or something, and Mario like realizes that that's what he's been doing with Luigi.
Yes.
Like, wait, that is a bad thing.
And Waluigi just doesn't do anything. He's lazy. Like, he's, like, lazy to the form of apathy. And Luigi just is like, come on, we gotta keep going. He's like, ah, why should I? It means nothing. And he's like, it means something to someone.
Yeah, and then they somehow meet up and they, well, Wario and Waluigi honestly can just, they just give up.
No. They all get captured individually by Goombas and end up in Bowser's castle, where they're reunited,
oh, okay.
And Mario and Luigi work together and defeat Bowser.
Do we give Wario and Waluigi a happy ending, or do they just kind of,
no, they
like
get the
Thénardier
ending where they're like, yeah, they failed, but they didn't die, and they're not really that much worse off, but they rediscover their relationship with one another, and that's enough.
And then, yeah, so they don't actually help defeat Bowser. They run away or something, yeah, when they see Bowser. They're like, oh.
And then Bowser, does Bowser die or just get defeated? I feel like this kind of character we've set up kind of needs to die for his ideals.
Yeah, Bowser can die.
I think he needs to die at Bowser Jr.'s hands, though. I feel like that's the big thing.
Also, Bowser dies. Well, he can die at Mario's hands, too. I think that's fine.
I think Mario has to, like, get him, like, 98% there, and then he's like, you're not even worth it. Then Bowser Jr. is the one that's like, all right.
Maybe Bowser Jr. just decides not to save him or something like that.
Yeah. Something like that where we can resolve Bowser Jr.'s arc. And then all the Goombas and Koopas, like, are free from their their tyrannical reign, and they're like, what do we do now? And Peach is like, I know exactly what to do. And then she lets them all into the Mushroom
and
Kingdom.
And then dance party.
Yeah, then we end very positively with a dance party. Bum, 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 we gotta have an 11 o'clock number. We do. And strangely enough, I think it's gonna be Peach's. Like, I feel like Peach has become, like, Mario and Luigi, yeah, they're the title characters, but Peach is the heart of this. Like, in the same way that Bowser is they represent two different things and they both have to learn from each other.
Sure.
I didn't mean for this to become so Peach-centric, but my God, I'm seeing this character and I want this musical to exist now.
I mean, people talk about how Peach in the games doesn't have any character, but, like, let's be real, none of them have any real character.
Yeah, what is Mario's character? Luigi has the most, which is he's scared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, well, honestly, I think Wario also has a decent amount of character in that he's greedy. But he's a bad guy. You can't really give a story to him. I think that's a good rough draft there.
Yeah, we got a good story.
We're under 30 minutes.
Yeah, we have to get some song names in there really quick. I feel like we've got like three, but I need the 11 o'clock number, which is like, we need something where it's like a pun. Like, we all know that the Mario arc is kind of dumb. We need a pun for Peach to kind of, like, what do I stand for or something? Maybe that could be it. That could be, like, the pop song that they try to promote to, like, the pop numbers. Like, that's the one that gets played on the radio. Like, what do I stand for if I let things like this occur? What do I stand for?
Yeah, we can do that. I'm fine with
that.
Yeah, that's the one that
sell. I think that it has to end with Do the Mario.
Of course it does. Just for gays.
Swing your arms from side to side.
Do the Mario. I feel like you don't sing the song, but we implement the Do the Mario dance into like the final number a little bit, or just the dance.
Yes.
That's fine. We can do that. That works.
Yeah. All right. Who do you think would do the score to this, Andrew? Who do you think would be a good choice to do the musical score to this?
Honestly, I think we can get one of the composers from the games.
No, I think we should do a theater composer. Like, if you could think of any theater composer.
Oh, I honestly have no idea. Probably someone who's done something very poppy.
Frank Wild.
I mean, Frank Wild. No, not that kind of poppy. Something like peppy. I don't know. What are you thinking?
Oh, I'm still kind of running in my head. I know the ones that people would jump to would be, oh, what's his name? The guy from Be More Chill, Joe Iconis, because video game. And I'm not sure that's the way to go.
Yeah, I don't know if we want that video game sound as much as we want it to sound like the music that's in a game.
Right. I feel like it needs to be self-aware, kind of like...
We don't want it to have, like, techie synth sounds, you know? We don't want that.
You know what? Here's a pitch. Tell me if you dislike it. The guys that did The Prom, I think they'd be a very good one. They'd find the emotion there.
I could see it.
You know, why not? Honestly, I'm not picky with something like this because I feel like most composers could probably handle it. You know, like I don't know if this is something that'd be like, it has to go to this person. Or
No.
It's not going to be good.
Like, my second choice would be Alan Menken and Glenn Slater, who did Tangled and Galvant. I feel like they'd do a very good job with this.
They would do something very like comedic and
they'd understand the comedy, but they'd also sell the emotional beats. Like, you need someone that can do both.
Yeah. Now, Nintendo would probably never approve of this actually happening.
I honestly think they might.
They have approved of stuff recently, like adaptation wise, because they opened like a theme park and stuff like that, which you know, maybe
our
maybe
show could run at the theme park.
Maybe they'll do something. But maybe we'll get a Mario musical.
But they're also doing the Illumination movie with Mario.
That's true.
So I don't, and Universal is a very known theater producer. They are like Mark Platt, who did Dear Evan Hansen, Wicked, all that. He's involved with Universal. So this isn't the most ridiculous one. Like, I'd sooner see this than say the Rugrats in Paris movie musical.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it couldn't happen. I'm just saying, at least in the past, there's been a precedent that it wouldn't.
Yes, I agree. So Nintendo sued for less. All right, Bree. What do you think Ben Brantley would say about this?
I feel like he wouldn't like it.
Yeah, on the real, like, he would probably hate this.
Yeah, he would absolutely hate it.
I don't know. I feel like he might be surprised by this, kind of in the same way the SpongeBob musical surprised him and he liked it. I feel like if you do this right, he could really enjoy it. And I feel like this has more to it than I would have expected when we started recording, to be honest.
I think it could be fun. There's very vibrant colors that could be played with. You know, it could be a good stage show.
And if you want me to kind of throw something in that we've done recently, we could do the folks who did Emojiland. I think they could nail this score.
Oh, yeah, actually. Yeah. That
was my first thought.
I also think you could do a very simple set to make up for the cost of the giant Bowser puppet that we're going to have to use.
Like, because you could just Bowser get like the yellow bust.
Yeah, because you could get the yellow question mark blocks as like part of the set, and brick blocks, and like you could do a lot with that.
Right. I'm just worried that like the actors portraying them probably will look goofy, like no matter what. If you throw anyone in those costumes, they're gonna look bad.
Well, I think you have to stylize them in a way that they'd look more like plumbers.
That's fair. But either way, we're coming up on our time. Is there anything else you want to say in this episode of Make Me a Musical?
I can't wait to see this one on Broadway.
Honestly,
please pay me. I need the royalty money.
You know what, guys? If you want to work on something for your demo reels, this is a great starting point.
All right. See you guys next time.
Bye.
Love y'all.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.